This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
All right, I've tweeted that out, and I'm hoping that, that what I just said is factual and that your research wasn't bad.
Yeah, me too.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. We're going to talk about the Chiefs now. That's okay with everybody. What is that expression for, Charlie? Is this about Matt Nagy?
Yes, it is.
That's actually where I was going right now anyway.
Okay.
Look at that. Look at us riding that the same horse.
Yeah. I didn't even consider this, but go ahead.
Yeah. I had thought about it. I hadn't seen a report yet, though. No. Michael Lombardi tweeted just about an hour ago, actually, just not seeing it, though. So hearing Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs, is being discussed by teams as a head coaching candidate. He's a hot name. That makes sense. Not because the Chiefs' offense has been great. It's been very good, but that's not why it makes all that much sense, or why it's happening, at least. It's why it makes sense, but it's not why it's happening. It's happening because Doug Peterson is currently coaching perhaps the best team in football.
Yep.
So the last offensive coordinator that got hired away from Andy Reid is now coaching a wonderful offense and a very good team, probably to a Super Bowl appearance. And maybe a win. So Matt Nagy becomes the next logical candidate for, you know, whatever, the Giants, who the Chiefs will be playing this week. So they're going to be a handful of teams. Also, you know where he makes the most sense? With the Indianapolis Colts. Follows Chris Ballard, former second-in-command here in Kansas City. It would make a lot of sense to see Ballard and Nagy, and then they trade for Matt Castle. Let's see, who else could they, how could they build this roster? They can also trade for Alex Smith.
Good.
Is Dwayne Bowe still around?
I think he's available.
Okay.
Larry
Johnson?
He is also, I think, looking for work.
I think Dwayne Bowe's working at Sonic. Did you get my joke there? It was good, wasn't it? Yeah.
No, explain it.
Nope.
What about Dontari Poe?
Dontari Poe's a good one. Yeah, I think he's on a one-year deal right now in Atlanta. But
Ryan Suckup.
He's on a team. I think he's in Tennessee still.
Expansion.
The
drafting.
Chiefs have
so Dontari Poe.
The Chiefs have, I think three former kickers in the league currently.
Did Santos land another? On
Santos
another team?
Hasn't yet, but he's going to. Suckup is still out there. There's one other guy. Obviously, I always want to say Justin Medlock because he was terrible and he's not on a team. But who did Suckup on seat?
I cannot remember.
Dang it. You both just look at me with these blank stares. And I need you to help me figure this out, please.
Does it matter that much?
Yes!
Former Chiefs kickers. I wonder how many times that's been searched on Google.
I am going to sit in silence until we find this.
Beards?
Oh, man. There's so many good things I want to talk about today. There's another kicker, a former Chief kicker, out there somewhere, I promise. Someone right now is yelling at their iPhone or whatever. Well, I just found Tony Moyaki. It's not really a name I expected to come across. How long was Suckup here?
Good few years.
I keep going back and he keeps showing up. Connor Barth!
Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah, was a rookie.
Yeah.
That was worth it, don't you think?
It's so worth it.
The Chiefs have a bunch of former kickers still in the league. It's kind of funny.
Because
all those guys started their careers with the Chiefs also. Barth, Suckup. Now, obviously, Santos is going to end up somewhere else. Butker, although Butker was with the Panthers for a little bit, never active in a game, though. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Almost Entirely Kickers. I'm your host, Charlie Carlin.
The kicker.
That's a good point. That's a good point. It's the first time in the history, this will all end up on the Roughing the Kicker feed, it's the first time in the history of the Roughing the Kicker podcast that we've actually talked about kickers for a solid, 3 minutes. You can tell me if you think that's a good thing or a bad thing. A piece of news from today. Don't you
it's
dare turn
so cold in
I
here.
I want it cold
it
in here.
It just got so cold.
It's good. I need the outside temperature to be the same temperature as my heart.
It's just
frozen. ice cold frozen.
You beat me to the joke.
Damn right I did, because I'm quick and snappy. Something interesting.
He's quick and snappy.
We're going to take a slight deviation to the Facebook comment section. Are you ready?
Ooh, yes.
Josh's mom has chimed in.
Oh, boy.
That was funny. Charlie's dad impression.
Your family's just awful.
Yeah, how do you think I got this way? This doesn't happen completely by accident.
Yeah.
It's not like where two wizards can make a muggle in Harry Potter. No, it doesn't work that way. That's not how parenting works.
You're such a muggle.
That's fine. But my sense of humor, I don't know if it's genetic, I don't know if it's nature or nurture, but it's definitely been passed down successfully. By the way, if you missed it earlier, here's a replay. We were doing impressions of people. I was doing an impression of Beards' dad, and now here's my impression of Charlie's dad. That concludes my impression of Charlie's dad. Tyrod Taylor today was benched by the Buffalo Bills. Nice. And this is really interesting for a few different reasons, and I actually mean this is interesting. And it also directly impacts the Chiefs in two major ways.
Has he really been that bad?
No!
Yeah.
No! This year's been bad, but what happened last week is the Bills got completely run over by the Saints for 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had 6 rushing touchdowns by 3 or 4 different people, including Drew Brees. Yeah.
And that's all on Taylor.
Right, and that's Tyrod Taylor's
fault. His fault.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember the exact score, but somebody tweeted like, oh yeah, Tyrod Taylor gave up 42 points last week.
He didn't jump on the field and try and tackle anybody illegally.
It's insane. So today the Bills announced they're going to be benching Tyrod Taylor and starting Nathan Peterman, the rookie out of Pitt. Adam Schefter tweeted this, and the Bills seem to hate Tyrod Taylor for reasons I don't fully understand. I think that the gap between him and Alex Smith is much more narrow than most lovers would think. He's been around for a while. I don't think...
Well, I mean, was he Rex's...
That's what I'm saying. He's been there for long enough that he might have been. I'm not 100% sure.
Sounds right.
But it seems like the Bills...
I think he was there before Rex, though.
I think he might have been. Yeah, I don't know. It seems like the Bills, though, just organizationally, are not fond of Tyrod Taylor, which is sort of strange because he's played pretty well with very limited weapons. They traded away Sammy Watkins. They have LeSean McCoy, and that is it. They traded away Robert Woods, I believe, also. They've shipped everybody out of town. So, Schefter tweets this, though, today. Tyrod Taylor's due a $6 million roster bonus on the third day of the league year and a $10 million base salary. Can't imagine Buffalo pays it. So, it looks like the 2018 quarterback free agent class now will have one more intriguing player. This is also bad news for the Chiefs because this damages the Alex Smith trade market.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, and I did say earlier today, to the tune of a response I'm going to get to in just a second, but I would say that a free agent Tyrod Taylor is probably more enticing than Alex Smith for a first or a second round pick. So I think it could drag the value of Alex Smith down a little bit. Now, Seth Kaiser pointed out on Twitter, he said maybe Alex is a better quarterback and he won't require a long-term commitment the first year like Tyrod likely will. That said, I agree that money's the market. That's true. Tyrod Taylor will probably go out looking for a deal with a good chunk of guaranteed money, maybe a high price for the first year, because competent quarterback play is expensive in the NFL, and it's also relatively rare. But at this point, it's undeniable that more options for other teams means worse news for the Chiefs. Now, this is a response that I got from Gordon today, Gordon on Twitter. He says, Alex Smith has the top passer rating at Taylor 16th, has a ridiculous 18-to-1 touchdown interception ratio, Taylor is 10-to-3, leads the NFL in yards per attempt, Taylor's 26th, and 5th in passing yards, Taylor 25th. You're right, Taylor is way more enticing. Listen here, bub. I didn't say that in a vacuum I would prefer Tyrod Taylor over Alex Smith, although I think it's not a completely ludicrous thing to say even now, even in the midst of Alex Smith's best season and after Tyrod Taylor's had a really rough few games in a row. I would prefer Alex Smith if I'm picking between the two, but it's not completely bonkers. Tyrod Taylor is not as good in the intermediate. He's better and more willing to throw the deep ball. They do different things well. If Tyrod Taylor was in Kansas City and Alex Smith was in Buffalo, I think the current state of things would look very, very similar. I think Andy Reid with Tyrod Taylor would build you a pretty good offense, and I think Alex Smith in Buffalo would get benched halfway through the season. I think both of those things are completely, completely reasonable. Everybody in Buffalo is set up to fail right now. including Tyrod Taylor, though Nathan Peterman's about to get a whole bunch of soft pass defenses coming up over the next several weeks. I think the Chiefs are one of the most stout pass defenses he's going to face for the remainder of this year. But listen, I'm not telling you that Tyrod Taylor is better than Alex Smith. I'm not telling you that he is, in a vacuum, a more enticing pick. But if I was the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I'm saying I'm building for the future but also want to win now, I would go ahead and bring in Tyrod Taylor as a free agent if the contract number was doable, rather than give up a whole lot for Alex Smith in a trade and then bring him in so you have a little bit more flexibility afterwards. Listen, the contracts matter, the numbers matter, but Taylor's going to be a free agent. Mm-hmm. If Denver and Jacksonville are the two prime places for these two guys to end up going to, and as I think they are, the Chiefs are going to have limited buyers, and now with a slightly more, not a flooded market, but a market with another viable option, a legitimate starting quarterback that isn't Blake Bortles. Am I an insane person?
No, you're not.
Mark that, Beards. Charlie said I'm not an insane person.
Well, he is, but
too late. You said it already.
You're not going to include the part.
Nope.
No. All right. Well, first of all, you are insane, but no, not on this at this part at least. I'm a little worried that we're going to see him in blue and orange a little bit more than whatever the Jacksonville colors are. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Black and teal.
Yeah.
Weird gold.
Yeah. Right.
Kind of.
Yes. Black to gold gradient.
And I honestly feel like he could be pretty successful in Denver.
I agree.
And it kind of scares me. And I'm kind of baffled that Buffalo is just giving up on him like this. Like, I wonder what their record is. 5-4?
They're a playoff team right now.
Exactly.
They're currently the sixth seed.
So where I'm getting at for that is they're not going to be at the top spots to get a quarterback unless they trade up like the Chiefs did this past year or something like that. But like,
if they trade up to the place that the Chiefs, that was who the Chiefs traded with. The Bills had the 10th pick and traded back. This is why it's so confusing. I think they want to see what they have in Nathan Peterman, which I understand. Yes. But this team is not at a place to do that. In the NFL, I hate mediocrity. I would rather be the Niners this year than to be the Bills, maybe the Dolphins right now. Ugh, gag. But I would rather be in the Niners' shoes, especially now they have Garoppolo. They have kind of a plan. They'll have the number one draft pick, or at least the number two draft pick. I would prefer to bottom out and then rebuild. However, you have a chance to get into the playoffs with a team that's had some really good moments. The last few weeks have been a disaster for the Bills. They've been embarrassed in a few instances. They also just traded away Marcell Dareus. Like, they are bottoming out. It's just they keep winning. Regardless, though, I think that all of that can still coexist with Tyrod Taylor being treated unfairly and then looking ahead to next year. Tyrod Taylor in Denver, as they go draft yet another quarterback, Tyrod Taylor going to Denver and holding down the spot while they develop whatever their second round pick from next year, whoever that ends up being, makes perfect sense.
They didn't give up completely. They did get Kelvin Benjamin from the Panthers.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Which is weird,
when you bring up all the other stuff and then you bring up that, it's just like,
it makes no sense.
And Kelvin Benjamin really hasn't been utilized at all so far. I mean,
which I guess also kind of makes sense because he just got there. But
yeah, got to get used to the offense.
That's a great point, though. I have no idea.
They've Bills fans were so pissed about them trading with the Chiefs in the draft because they wanted to get either another quarterback
Mahomes,
option
Watson,
or something,
right.
Something like that, and they were all just confused on why the hell the Bills did that. So I'm sure Bills fans are just real confused on what exactly is going on, and you might see a shakeup in the front office after this season if they don't end up making the playoffs.
I don't think that's true, because I think that clearly the front office right now must be pretty damn confident that they're getting to rebuild their own thing, because they've been trading people away. They're clearly not trying to win right now.
So risky.
The Niners, they just got Kyle Shanahan, and they're tanking this year. They're not even going to play Garoppolo. We know the Niners front office is very confident they're going to tank this year and then go back at it next year and try to improve. I think the Bills have to be in a pretty similar place. Yeah, man, if I gave you $1,000 right now, could you name me the Bills head coach?
I can picture him, but I don't know his name.
I wanted to say Doug Marrone. Like, oh God, Doug Marrone is in Jacksonville now. Sean McDermott.
Mm.
Sean McDermott now is, he looks kind of like Woody Harrelson a little bit. Is that fair?
He does.
Yeah, okay, so Woody Harrelson, the head coach of the Bills. I don't think that there's any changes coming there other than the changes on the roster, and they're just turning everything over. It's really bizarre. One good thing this means for the Chiefs is we've talked about their schedule a lot recently. The Chiefs' remaining schedule includes one team with a winning record, and now that team is starting a rookie fifth-round quarterback.
Right, and I wanted to ask you about the Chiefs' remaining schedule, and do you think that they can go 7-0?
They should. They're going to be favored in every game here. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday towards the beginning of the show. I went through and looked at the Patriots, Steelers, Chiefs, Jags, and Titans, because those are teams that are all kind of jostling for positioning right now in the AFC. The Patriots are 7-2. Their toughest remaining games are at Oakland this week, which is actually in Mexico, and then at Pittsburgh in Week 15. They're not going to win, or they're not going to lose two of those games. No. They have a chance to lose in Pittsburgh, which would actually probably be for the best for the Chiefs. So listen to this. Let me lay this scenario out to you, okay? Patriots win out, except for they lose in Pittsburgh. The Patriots finish 13-3. The Steelers win out because they're playing versus Tennessee tomorrow. They have versus New England in Week 15. Everything else is a win unless something crazy happens.
So we're big Titans fans tomorrow.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. But even if the Steelers go 13-3, it doesn't matter. They have the head-to-head.
Right.
So the Steelers go 14-2. The Patriots go 13-3. The Jags have a few difficult games left, but I think the Chiefs are going to be able to keep ahead there. The Titans have a bunch of very difficult games. They're going to drop down. The Chiefs, at 6-3 right now, they go at the Giants versus the Bills, at the Jets versus the Raiders versus the Chargers versus the Dolphins at the Broncos. If you want to hear that again, I can give it to you this way. Ben McAdoo, Nathan Peterman, Josh McCown. I'm not doing just quarterbacks, by the way. Ben McAdoo is just funnier than Eli Manning. Josh McCown, the Raiders, the Chargers, Jay Cutler, and then question mark, Paxton Lynch probably by week 17. Well, the Chiefs need to win all of these games, but hear me out on this really quick. Listen to this. If I'm right, if this pans out how I think it probably will, I think the Chiefs probably lose a game. Mm-hmm. But they shouldn't lose a game. Let's say they don't. Let's say that you go week by week. You go, okay, they win those seven. They finish 13-3. As do the Patriots. Steelers go 14-2. The Chiefs get a bye week because they beat the Patriots
right. In
the head-to-head game first week of the season. Here's how this bracket plays out. Steelers and Chiefs get a bye as the 1-2 seeds. The Patriots are the 3 seed, and they play Tennessee in New England. The 4 seed is Jacksonville. They play... Right now, it's like maybe like the
Ravens.
So actually, Baltimore goes to New England. Tennessee goes to Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville beats Tennessee. New England beats Baltimore. So then in the second round, in the divisional round, New England Patriots come to Kansas City because the Chiefs are the lower seed and the Patriots will be the highest seed as the 3 seed. The Chiefs play the Patriots in Arrowhead. And if they win, then they go to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers. As this pans out right now, the Chiefs are going to have to beat the Patriots and the Steelers to get to the Super Bowl, and that's not going to happen.
No, definitely not.
What were we going to say a second ago?
That is the Super Bowl.
Yeah, right. It's a Super Bowl 3 weeks in a row. With a bye, I guess.
I just found this picture, and it's the offensive and defensive ranks of each team that the Chiefs are playing going forward.
I think I saw this earlier today, yeah.
Giants, offense 25th, defense 31st. Bills, offense 28th, defense 25th. Jets, which I'm weirdly nervous for that game. Offensive rank 26th, defense 21st. I might be the only one.
No, I hate the Jets.
Raiders 21, 26, Chargers 17, 19, Dolphins 32nd and 10th. That's a little high for the Dolphins on defense. And then the Broncos 19th offense and 4th defense. So they're playing all pretty much 20s and up on defense.
These are the same thing
on offense too. Like
the AFC, yes,
they've got to go at least 6-1. I mean,
well, it doesn't matter.
It's almost disappointing if they don't go 7-0.
Yes, yes, like, and you say that. I understand your hesitance because you say it's disappointing if they don't go 7-0, and you feel super entitled or whatever,
like,
right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing: it's hard to win 7 football games in a row, but. If I asked you game by game, you'd say, yes, I expect them to win that game. I expect them to win that game. I expect them to win that game. Do I expect them to go 7-0? No. Why? Because it's the Chiefs, and it's a long stretch of games. I get it. But each individual game here, the Chiefs have to win. By the way, if they lose any of these games, then they could lose 2 of them. It doesn't really matter. They become the 3 seed. And then so there's no first round bye. They have to get the Jags at home, or the, I guess it would be the Titans or the Ravens at home. And then they have to go to New England, to Pittsburgh, and then vice versa, whichever one doesn't win that game.
But the Chiefs won week one in New England. Yeah, that means they can do it again in the playoffs, right? Crickets.
Here's a tweet that I got earlier today. This was from Britt. He was making a point that I talked about a couple days ago. He said, the next 6 weeks of Chiefs football doesn't mean much. They'll win most games against crappy teams. That won't tell us anything about playoff success chances. At this point, this sentiment is basically scriptural. Nothing means much in the regular season to the Chiefs, except for the losses that reinforce what you think you already believe. Winning out probably means a first-round bye, but it won't make me one iota more confident versus Pittsburgh.
No.
I'm telling you, without hyperbole, the way they play in these games can't fix that. They could win every single game 40-0. Giants, Bills, Jets, Raiders, Chargers, Dolphins, Broncos, they could beat every one of those teams 40-0 every week. And whenever it comes to Chiefs Steelers, I'm not going to be more confident. I'm not going to have any more faith in how that game is going to play out. Because we've seen Chiefs Steelers. We've seen it too many times.
Oh, you're telling me you're tired of the Chiefs in the playoffs?
Yes. Yeah. What I'm telling you what I want is I want Matt Castle back. I want the number one overall picks to spend on mediocre left tackles. I want all of that. I want Todd Haley back. I want Scott Pioli back. Yeah, I want all of that. I want to just avoid the playoffs completely so we can just complain all season.
Okay, yeah.
That'd be ideal. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm being told right now on my headphones that's the Royals' plan for the next 10 years.
Yeah, that's super cool.
We at least
mixing up the sides of the parking lot
here. Yeah, so no, you're right. I guess I don't want the Chiefs to drop into irrelevancy because the Royals are going to do that for us.
That's our Royals talk for the day.
Yeah, well, we'll do more Royals talk in about 3 months from now. More than that, maybe.
Six.
Gross.
Heck, 2 years.
You're right. We'll talk about the Royals again whenever we come back, and also whenever Raul Mondesi becomes an all-star. Royals talk.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Well, I got off the sugary pop a while ago, and then so if I was drinking sweet tea, it'd kind of defeat the purpose. So I kind of just got used to unsweet tea now, and even when I taste a little bit of sweet tea, it just, way too much.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Now that you guys, now you guys know about my... I don't know what was so funny there.
On ESPN Kansas City.
What was that, Charlie? What were you saying to me as the break was ending there?
The reason I kept that story going is because you were just seemed like you were listening so intently.
I was.
And it just like you seemed so interested.
Yes.
And obviously it should have been something that said off the air.
No.
But,
No. In fact,
it is perfect the way it was.
Sometimes I hesitate to talk too much during commercial breaks, or at least like have the urge, like, nope, shut up, save it. Because I don't want to ever miss that moment. I would have been so sad if that would have not been captured by microphones.
Whoa, too much.
It's just so good. We'll probably hear from Vin McAdoo tomorrow. I don't think we're going to play that sound today. I don't have much time.
I don't think we have that sound in the system yet.
Awesome. I do want to hear from Vin McAdoo at some point because I want to know what it sounds like to hear the future former coach of the Giants speak. But the Chiefs have an outside linebacker problem that became even more evident today.
Kind of have an all linebacker problem.
That's true, but specifically outside. Do you want me to acknowledge this is Billy Preston, or do you...
I say we just keep going with it.
You just want to play the whole 3 minutes?
Oh, there's about 2.5 minutes left in this.
The Chiefs just signed Billy Preston?
Yeah. Rest in peace. If you're just joining us, Billy Preston, he plays for the Jayhawks, or at least he's on the Jayhawks, hasn't played yet.
His name is on the roster.
Right. And this music here is by a different Billy Preston who died in 2006.
Wow. Hot take alert from Colin Cowherd. LeBron and the Cavs are winning the East. Okay.
Duh.
I'd like to
I'm a Celtics fan. They've just won 13 straight games.
Yeah,
They're not winning the East.
If I could just filter Whitlock, Cowherd.
Just don't follow them. There. Problem solved.
Well, I don't. People retweet them. In fact, I wasn't going to say from my Twitter. I was going to say from my life entirely. But then Charlie brought them up. I would just hear, like, static. Whenever any of their takes are being repeated.
Yeah.
The Chiefs have an outside linebacker problem, if
they
you don't
do.
Mind, you guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry about
if
that.
If you guys don't mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead with your show.
The sports show. Oh, really quick. This reminds me again also. Thank you, by the way, Charlie, for your permission. Aaron tweeted out earlier, almost entirely sports is, sports talk radio, career suicide, or the place that Josh props up his ego. 41% have said sports talk radio, and
wow.
41% have said the place Josh props up his ego. Only 18% of people have said career suicide.
Well, where's that poll?
I was one of those people.
Aaron tweeted, wow, I thought for sure no one would pick one of these. Clinton said, whoever picked sports talk radio, you weren't even close. My favorite response might have been, though, from Miles, and said, not to mention, a great way to spend 8 penguin poops 5 days a week.
He's been listening.
This whole penguin poop thing you guys got going on.
It's really good, right?
That's one way to put it.
Also, in case you didn't know, penguins poop every 15 minutes. I learned this right before swimming with some penguins on Saturday.
I haven't heard about this experience.
Oh, by the way, good. We have...
Go listen to the podcast for Monday. The first 40 minutes are about it. What, Beards?
Well, I was going to say we have 2 penguin poops left in the song, but that's if it was minutes.
Yeah, no, you've got to...
Yeah.
That penguin needs to go to the vet.
Yeah.
How many human minutes or seconds are left in this song?
7.
Minutes?
Seconds.
Oh, okay.
What a guy, that Billy Preston.
Whew. The Chiefs have an outside linebacker problem. Tom Bahali today...
He went on Facebook Live again?
He didn't do anything today.
Oh, okay.
Andy Reid said today that Tom Bahali had knee swelling following the Cowboys game. He wants to balance his workload to keep the swelling down. I believe that Tom Bahali played 23 snaps against the Cowboys. That's not great news.
It's like the most in 3 years, though.
If 23 snaps makes your knees swell up, your knees are bad, which is something that we knew already anyway, in fairness. That's bad news, part one. Tom Bahali's knees are toast. Dee Ford did not practice today.
Is he going to be out for the season?
So this is my theory. You're on the right track, I think. Midseason back injuries don't magically go away.
No.
Last year, his hamstring injury appeared to be hampering him throughout the second half of the season. I think there is a chance that we've seen the last of Dee Ford as a Chief, period. He's not coming back next year, not at his cap number. I just don't see it. Somebody else will pay him to go up against other teams' right tackles, but not for as long as Justin Houston is here. The Chiefs obviously won't want him to do that. I think Dee Ford is done. I at least think that if we see him again throughout the rest of the season, I would be stunned to see him look like any sort of overwhelming pass rusher, partially because of his back injury and partially because we haven't seen him do that yet as a Chief, period.
So the Chiefs are going to seriously need to target some pass rushers in free agency or
well,
draft.
Always
pretty much, but every team, every year, but still.
But they invested a second-round pick in Tano Passanio this year.
You expect
your second-round pick to be a guy who can get on the field next year. He cannot get on the field right now at all. Also, Daddy Nicholas comes off the PUP list and began to practice for the Chiefs today. Whenever I saw that news, I just tweeted, yes, Daddy. And
I was just thinking something along that. We need to call him like Father Nicholas or something.
At that point, he's delivering presents to young children, I thought, Father Nicholas.
Or he's a priest.
That's also right. That's also good. So we're calling him Daddy for here on out. I believe that the Chiefs have 3 weeks now to either activate him to the active roster or to put him on injured reserve. They did it the day before the game for Tom Bahali, and he got on the field against the Cowboys. And now Tomba has had a full bye week to get his knees better. He also, though, had like almost a full season to get his knees better, and then they still swelled up again after the Cowboys game last week. So Tano Passanio does not appear to be ready. Justin Houston is really good, but he's the only guy right now, and even he has, obviously, a history of injuries. Tom Bahali has knee problems. Dee Ford has back problems. Daddy Nicholas is still on his way back. And we don't really know if he's good, frankly. So We'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow as well. But the Chiefs have a pass rush problem, and you're not going to do much by way of winning in the playoffs if you can't rattle Tom Brady, if you can't rattle Ben Roethlisberger, especially if you also fail to score points against them. Thank you, Charlie Carlin, for sitting in here on a Wet and Wild Wacky Wednesday. Today's show went fast. It usually does on Wednesdays, but we cranked through some Kansas stuff earlier on the show. As always, if you want to hear more of the show, if you didn't get the full frontal of Almost Entirely Sports, as we encourage you to always do, you can search for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcast. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Beards. We'll be back tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. here.
Bye, Josh's
Almost
mom.
Entirely Sports. Bye, Charlie's dad.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.